Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Coming up on TMS, a priest, a mountain biker, and 14 ibbots walk into a bar.
Why was your battle cry shit on me?
Don't toss grandma off a bridge.
Words you never want to hear your mother say. What is bukkake?
The nut part is emphasized. That's a poor order we put those in, those two. But anyway, that's fine.
Hey, you need a permit to spread grandma.
Quarter cocked caravan of cars.
It's a tarp.
Park icon is not to scale.
No scratch, just half a bush.
In Soviet Russia, tell a nut you.
The 80s creeped up my butt and stayed there.
I only watched the games for the nostril hair.
Attracting no drama magnets.
Making things with Bill and more on this episode of The Morning Stream.
Look at you. You're a wreck. You stink. You can barely keep your eyes open.
Behind it is your secret money pocket for coins, pictures, secret stuff.
The Morning Stream. Space Rock.
Morning, everybody. Welcome back to TMS, or to it for the first time. This is TMS for Monday, June 21st, 2021. Hey, it's a 6/21/21. Woo-hoo-hoo!
And it's episode 2132, so there's something.
There's another 21s. 21. Yeah, we got 21s yes. Everywhere. My son is
everybody
21.
Everybody buy a lottery ticket.
That's right. Everyone can drink now. We're all drinking.
Play some blackjack.
Yeah. Sure. Welcome back to the show, everybody. I'm Scott. That's Brian. Brian, you're back. You're back from your trip.
I'm back. Back from family reunion, grandparent memorial-tacular.
Ah, whoa, that sounds like a party every few inches. How did it go, though? Like, overall, would you say it was a nice coming together of the family and the whatnot?
Very, very much so, yeah. You know, maybe, and it's funny, because I didn't see this happen, but apparently there were a couple little spats or tiffs or whatever, JPEGs, tiffs. little LZW compression on them. I wasn't aware of them, didn't see them or anything like that. But for the most part, I mean, from my perspective, an event like this that can be the refrigerator that tracks all the drama magnets was drama free.
That's awesome.
It was a stainless steel refrigerator that attracted no magnets. So there's some kind of refrigerator you can't put magnets on.
Right. I think it's
aluminum? Non-aluminum. They don't make fridges out of aluminum.
I don't know. Somebody would claim that COVID makes them stick to it anyway, so it doesn't matter.
That's right. Does your fridge have the vaccine? It's magnetic.
Well, that's good. I respect the family get together where their drama is at a minimum.
Well, let me, and I guess I'll clarify. Interpersonal drama was at a minimum. Right. Was there still drama and excitement and thrills and action and stuff to keep you on the edge of your seat? Well, certainly. Yeah. Absolutely.
Yeah.
Let me tell you about it.
Okay. Yeah. Give me an example.
I'll just segue right into it. So here was the deal. I mean, basically we went up to Glenwood Springs. This is Hot Springs, a town built around some hot springs that, also heat up this pool. Technically the pool gets cooled down so people can get into it because it comes out of the hot springs at such a high temperature.
Sure.
And, it's a ginormous pool, 100,000 gallons, 170,000 gallons or something is what it says on the sign. It's like a city block, a pool the size of a city block. Okay. And as a kid, my grandmother, who passed away last year, used to bring us up here all the time. And so we thought, well, this will be a great place to get the family all together. We'll rent an Airbnb or VRBO or whatever, and enough room for 15 of us. And then we can get together as a family, play some board games, cook burgers outside on the grill, tell stories around a campfire, go swimming one day, go check out the town another day.
Sure.
And lastly, spread the ashes of both my grandmother and my grandfather, who passed away many more years ago, but we have his ashes and figured, well, let's spread both of them together since they both liked coming up here.
Oh, that's interesting. Sorry. So you held on to those. I guess she held on to them, and then
we just had them. Got yeah. It. They, yeah. they rolling around in his trunk for the last a few years. He never took him out. No, I'm just kidding.
Sure.
Much more sacred place, just not in the back of the truck.
Sure.
Anyway, so took both of them up there. Now, as is typical with that side of the family,
yeah.
I won't say that they never have a plan, but let's say that they just play everything kind of fast and loose, kind of off the cuff.
Sure.
Spontaneous.
Yeah.
And we really didn't have a set plan as far as where we were going to disperse the ashes.
Sure.
A lot of places it's illegal, right? You can't just go to a park.
Oh, I wondered about that. I guess it is illegal if you're I guess it makes sense that there would be places where it was illegal, but I would never think of it ahead of time. I would just be like so solemn about the process. I'd just be running out there with the ashes, not really thinking about what the the locals care about,
right.
whether my remains are there or not. But
exactly, yeah. So we, we were considerate of that, but still, we were probably expecting that we were going to be dispersing them in a place that was not legally dispersible.
Right, right.
So we decided this would be our Saturday event, and what we do is. George and I would get up early. We'd go do a 20-mile bike ride down to Carbondale.
Okay.
And then we'd get back. We'd make sandwiches. We'd go to, we'd find a nice park next to the Roaring Fork River. We'd say a few nice things. We'd disperse the ashes. And then the group, some groups of the family would go up to Adventure Park, which is this amusement park at the top of this mountain that kind of overlooks the Glenwood Valley.
Yeah.
Some people were going to go on a hike. Some people were going to go into town to go shopping. And then we'd all get back together, grill or cook pizza, and then eat on the back deck.
Sure, sure.
We really didn't have an idea of where the park was. And we looked along the river and thought, well, here's a couple of nice options. The previous day, though, my mom talked to somebody in town when she was shopping. While we were all at the swimming pool, my mom went shopping. She met somebody, and I don't know how the conversation went from, oh, that's a nice keychain you've picked out, to where can I throw my mother's ashes? But somehow the conversation went there.
Wow.
And he's a local. He said, oh, well, where I've told my kids I want my ashes dispersed is an RV park next to a river. There's actually this really beautiful spot. It's not in an RV park. It's like on the river, but it's a park next to the RV park. And you just look for the sign off of the Highway 82 that says RV.
Oh, gotcha.
You can't miss it. It's a beautiful location.
Yeah.
So she relays this to us, and we kind of go off half-cocked without any plan. Quarter-cocked, probably, would be the better.
Yeah. Fully loaded caravan, with the dust of your grandparents. All
the dust of our elders.
Yeah.
In three cars, in a little caravan of cars.
Yeah.
High-speed funeral procession.
Heck yeah. It's easier when you don't have a freaking hearse. It's a lot easier.
Yeah. No, everybody can maneuver a couple SUVs and a Versa.
Sure.
A little Chevy Versa.
Mm-hmm.
So we make our way down the highway. We see, all right, well, there's the turnoff for Carbondale. He said it was on the Carbondale Road. We make a turn there.
Yeah.
And we look and say, well, there's an RV park there. And there's a river down there. All right, let's go through. So we go through the RV park. And get to the end of the RV park, and there's no way to get down to the water.
Oh,
So woman standing out by her car. We wave her over. we tell her, you know, we're looking for the way to get down to the river. Sure. She doesn't understand a word we're saying. She calls out her daughter, who speaks a little English. We say, you know, hey, we're trying to get down to the water. And she says, oh, no, no. You need to get back on the highway and then go, you know, where you can turn around and then you turn. And then as you come back, look for a red star and go under the red star. And we're like, oh my God, is she going to, is she directing us to a Texaco? What's going on? Is, you know. So we decide we hop back in the car. And at this point, my uncle says, you know, we saw a bunch of really nice parks when we were on our bike ride this morning. Let's just go to one of those. And,
sure.
And I say, yeah, okay. There's the one, you know, off of the street that was right next to the water. You lead. So we let George lead, swap the cars around. He goes leading.
Got it.
We get down to this area where there's this bridge. We're going to walk down to the river. Oh, no, on both sides where you could walk. It's private property. We can't get down to the river, and we don't want to just toss our ashes off the bridge. It's like, okay, well, how about this other place that we saw? I pulled up Apple Maps and found a park right on the Roaring Fork River. I said, okay, I'll lead this time.
Yeah, Brian's so in charge. Everybody get behind Brian. Let's go.
Swap the cars around again. I take us down this road that says no outlet. Again, through this nice area of these houses on every side, we get to the place on Apple Maps where it shows, what is it called? Barber's Gulch Park.
Yeah.
And it is a bench on a bridge over the river between four houses, two houses on either side, on both sides of the street.
I love it. It's just like a crappy little nothing park, but it's on the map as if it's like a significant thing.
Right. The little icon, far bigger than the actual park itself.
That's great. Okay. That's awesome.
And so I've got everybody behind me, and I'm just thinking, oh my God, I'm going to have to make everybody turn around again. And this is a one-lane road, like a very narrow one-lane road. We get all the way to the end to this house that has like a you know, some artist lives there, and they've got this velociraptor made out of car parts or something. And so we have to kind of do a 5-point turn in the driveway, but we have to communicate with each other, and we're kind of doing a little bit of it via text, but we're also doing the cop communication, which is, you know, one car turns around, comes back towards, we roll down our driver's side windows and say, all right, well, this road is a bust. What else you got?
I love it.
Now at this point, my niece Madeline says, oh, well, okay, why don't we go back to where we turned off the road for Carbondale? There was a trailhead and a road that went up to the mountains. Grandma always liked the mountains. Let's find a spot up there. We'll do the disbursement up there. Great, no problem. So this is now our sixth U-turn.
That's a lot.
It's a lot of U-turns.
Yeah. More than you'd like to make, like, typically, right? You'd like to make none, but, you know.
We'd like to make none. We'd like, sure, to, you know, go out one thing. But we're doing this as a family, and we're laughing because all we can do is imagine our grandparents in their boxes saying, oh, my God, just throw it. We don't care. Throw us in a field.
Yeah. Hold it out the window and drive fast. Everything will be fine.
But not in this horrible RV park, please.
Yeah.
So we start making our way back up to where we got on the Carbondale Road, and then we go past the trailhead and we're going up the mountains, and Maddie's leading us in her little Chevy Versa.
Yeah.
Two SUVs full of people behind her, and she's mapping it out. But because we go through a dead zone,
yeah,
the place where it says here's where you're going to want to turn right up this other steep gravel road, mm-hmm, she goes right past it. And then, yeah, she realizes, she goes, like, she comes out of the dead zone, her phone says, oh, you missed it. U-turn and go up that gravel road.
Yeah.
Nissan Versa, sorry, not a Chevy Versa. So she says, okay, well, we're going to have to U-turn yet again. And she goes to the side of the road, and she goes a little bit too far to the side of the road.
Uh-oh.
And there's a little bit of a gully, like a ditch.
Yeah.
And her car kind of goes a little bit sideways, and she has everybody kind of get out of the car. She's like, well, you know, I'll be able to still turn around, but there's a rock right in front of me, so I don't want to do it right away. Like, I want to get everybody out of the car.
Yeah.
We're all pulled over to the side, and somebody goes up and says, are you all right? She's like, yeah, we needed to do a U-turn, so...
So, chat room, I'm now showing you a photo of this car overlaid on Brian as he describes this. So this is before this got worse, I assume. She's let everybody out of the car. Okay.
Yes.
All right. Is that her, by the way, real quick? Is that her in the pink pants and the dark?
Let me see the photo you're putting up. I think if it's the photo I'm thinking of, she's on the far right of the. Yes, black shirt, pink pants.
That's her. Okay, all right. She's very calm looking. She looks like she's got a work. You know, she'll work it out.
Yeah,
she's got a plan.
Yeah, that's funny. Yeah, okay. Calm right there. that she'd been out of the car for a few minutes.
Sure. I understand.
So then she backs up, and at that point, the car slides further into the ditch, into the gully. At this point, it's like at a 45 degree angle, and it's leaning on a bush. Like if there were one more sandwich in the cooler in that car, it would have pushed the bush over. And in that gully were two huge rocks that if this thing were to go over, one of those rocks would have gone right through the passenger side window.
Oh, yes. No. Yeah. Yeah. That thing tipped
now,
and you're screwed.
We're in the mountains.
Yeah.
We're kind of in a dead zone where there's no signal.
Yeah.
And so the 15 of us all get out on the side of the road and start talking about what our next move is. And one of the daughters suggests, well, why don't all of us, or as many of us that are strong, just get on the other side of the car and push it sideways up? And we're like, yeah, no, I don't think we're doing that. Because the last thing we need is having it rock further and then slide down on 14 of us.
That seems real bad. Like, yeah, and you don't have a backup phone plan, so.
We don't, exactly.
Oof. Yeah.
Luckily, a car comes by, and it's somebody who just lives up here or up there, and he's got a bright yellow mountain bike strapped to the back of his thing. He says, hey, what's going on, man? What's going on?
Yeah.
And we explain the situation. He says, yeah, you're kind of in a dead zone here. Look, I live, you know, a mile up the road. I'll take one of you up there. You can call AAA or, you know, do whatever you need to do from there. Because we're trying to get on the thing to AAA. Sure. We call AAA, right? We actually get them on the phone while we're in this dead zone. And they say, oh, yeah, go to the website and you can do a scheduling thing there. And they hang up, and we go to the website. We can't pull up the damn website.
Of course, because there's no freaking internet where you're at.
No freaking internet. Ugh. So he takes us up there to where he's got Wi-Fi.
Yeah.
And we'd probably been out there in the 105-degree heat for maybe about half an hour at this point, trying to get the plan together.
Right.
The guy takes my uncle up there, comes back, says, yep, all right, AAA is on its way. I'm going to start taking people in one of the SUVs. My uncle says this, taking people in one of the SUVs back to the rental house. And then we can kind of figure out our plan from there, just so we're not all sitting out here in the heat. We don't all need to wait here for the tow truck.
So he
starts packing people up. Now there's about 12 of us there waiting, and it's still heat pouring down.
I was going to say, you were not hot. It was not cool in the mountains. This is an important part of this.
It was not cool in the mountains, yeah. The sweat from my brow is going through the sunscreen and into my eye, where it is stinging and red, and I'm like tearing up, constantly taking bottles of water and like trying to flush the stuff out of my eye.
Yeah, we used to be able to know. I mean, yes, hot air rises, but we used to be able to rely. If you live in the Rocky Mountains, you know this. You can rely on going up the canyon and getting cooler temperatures.
Yes,
that's just how it is. But not
some
this year.
Some in the mountains, things cool off.
But not this year. It's bad. It's terrible this year. Anyway.
Tow truck shows up. Or actually, no, I take that back. George shows up back with his truck. We decide, okay, well, now the rest of us, except for maybe two or three people who are going to stay there with the car to wait for the tow truck, are also going to go back to the rental house. We get video shortly after of the tow truck guy pulling up, attaching a cable to both of the exposed tires, both of the exposed wheels, kind of lifting and pulling the car out. So lifting the two wheels closest to the road up off the ground, and then pulling the car laterally out of that gully instead of trying to go forward. There was a rock in front of it, so he wasn't
going to get
it to go forward very well. Plus, at that angle, I'd be worried if he pulled from the front that it could topple over and just go, you know, right into that rock. But pulled it out. Everybody okay. Everybody happy, healthy.
Yeah. Got hurt.
Car able to drive back home with no scratch, but about half a bush jammed into the
Like the 2016 election, there was about half a bus jammed into that thing. So hold on a second. But no, like banged up, that like tires weren't out of alignment or anything weird like that.
No,
okay,
that's not good. That we could tell. No alignment issues, nothing like that. On the way back, off the side of the road, and I did take a picture of this, but the thing is so gross and grisly, I'm not going to send it.
Right.
We see a deer that on the side of the road under a boulder.
Wait, got crushed by a boulder?
We think so, but it kind of is the crap. The capper of, you know, you can plan all you want, you can look both ways, you can like be as prepared and careful as you want, but sometime a rock is just gonna kind of land on you and flatten you.
Yeah, there's always a percentage chance, right? Like it seems very unlikely, but there it is. Man, that's rough.
Yeah. Just because we're kind of morbid, decided I want to go and take a picture of it. And so on our last day, we went back into it. I got out of the car and took a picture. I'm like, oh, this is gross. It's just like, you know, if it looked like Wile E. Coyote was standing above it with a little fulcrum going, then that'd be one thing. But yeah, no, it's
super genius. And then accidentally killed the deer instead of the roadrunner.
That's right. Fantastic. This deer had been out there for 3 or 4 days. What else? So that was the big story. I mean, there were some other small stories. My wife had to explain bukkake to my mother.
Oh, my Lord. Really? That had to happen. See, you had to explain it to me once. Now your wife's explaining it to your mother. That's fantastic. Well done.
Yeah, it came from one of my other nieces, heard the word and thought it just meant silly, right?
Oh, it's silly.
And so to her two daughters, she's saying, because she heard the word and didn't know what it meant, she kept saying to her daughters, all right, come on, knock it off. Quit being bukkake.
Oh, my Lord.
And finally, Maddie, as a matter of fact, was the one who said, that word does not mean what you think it means.
Yeah, but how long did you let her go not knowing what it meant, though? Like, was it a long enough time?
I think it was pretty instant that it got explained. But then when they were relaying the story after dinner Friday night, and my mom says, well, I don't know what that is. What is bukkake? And my other niece kind of gave a quick description of it quick description of it, which clued Tina in as to what it was. My mom still didn't understand. So then my lovely wife says, well, you start out by putting a tarp down.
She gets into all the logistics first.
Yeah. Well, you know, Tina's first thought is cleanliness.
Gosh, dude. I mean, as someone who only learned what that meant about 2 years ago or something close to that, I know the feeling of the shock and feeling of knowing, of hearing what this is for the first time. And so I can't imagine explaining this to your mother. I just can't. Yes. That's crazy. Well, all right. Man, that was almost the story you should have led with. That's that's a hell of a thing.
Well, that was a shorter story. I wanted to see how we did getting through the ditch story.
Sure. Well, I'm glad the ditch is no longer, I'm glad it's in the rearview mirror, as it were.
All is well there. All in all, weekend was a great time. And we're already looking forward to when we're going to be able to do it again, maybe next year. And I got to say, if you're anywhere near Colorado and can check out Glenwood Springs for a weekend, that pool is amazing. There's a great, they've redone their water slide. They used to just have this tube that went right into the water.
Yeah.
Then they added a second tube. They've taken all that out and they've now put in, the best description is, it's like a theme park or a water park river rafting ride, but instead of being in a tube with like 8 other people, you're solo or on a pair tube, and it's like a lazy river that's not lazy. It's a very highly motivated river, and it's so it's got like gullies and things or not gullies, but like places where the water splashes down and then kind of meander off into another section where the water kind of splashes down.
By the way, we're just looking at their website for Colorado or Glenwood Springs.
Yes.
And they have about a tiny little segment at the top that's like, come here because it's cool. And then after that, where to get vaccinated? Which vaccine to get? Get it. Get everybody get it. Like they're super pushing it on here, which is
Mountain Town.
Yeah, mountain town. That makes
this
sense.
This is where people go to get away from the government.
Yeah,
this
I got to get away from the government. So. Although they've spelled, I thought the Johnson & Johnson, is there a fourth vaccine called Janssen? Is that a thing?
Yeah, Janssen is...
I hadn't heard of that.
Aren't they the makers of the AstraZeneca? No, there is a Janssen, J-A-N-S-S-E-N,
yeah.
Something like that.
Yeah, they're on here, and I'd never heard of that. I don't know why.
Yeah, that's a different vaccine. Oh, it is. Janssen is the J&J vaccine. Okay. Yes, right.
Did they change the name people don't trust it because they had a problem with it or something, or what?
They're the manufacturer of the Johnson & Johnson vaccine.
Okay. So what, they're just the brand then? The Johnson & Johnson?
I don't know how that works.
Lame.
Right? Lame. With a name like Johnson & Johnson, you can trust it.
Well, they've got vaccines and vacunas. For the Spanish people.
Oh, yes.
Uh-huh. Yeah. That's good stuff. Speaking of websites you should visit, everybody.
Yes.
You know Jamie. Jamie does amazing things. He makes these mashups for
TMS
the show.
TMS mashups, Jamie? Absolutely.
Yeah, yes. We love his work. We got one queued up for later in today's show, in fact, and a bunch in the can. He's really good at it and a super nice guy and a really cool dad. Happy Father's Day, everybody, by the way, yesterday.
Oh, yeah.
You included.
And you too.
Thank you. Yeah. And so I wanted to mention something that J.K. Grammer headed up over the weekend, and it was really nice of him to do this. This is what our community does, pitches in to help each other. A lot of people don't know this, but Jamie had to have surgery on his shoulder, I believe. I think he keeps telling me it's his shoulder, and then sometimes I forget which part of him it is. But he had major surgery on his shoulder. And it's not the first one. It's also, because of this, not been able to work for a really long time. And as a result, this isn't just about him not being able to do mashups for a while, I promise. Right. This is mostly about him just kind of being down and out. And to add on top of that, his wife's got a couple of conditions that make it really hard for her to do some of the stuff she needs to do. And as a result, with their two kids, they're kind of just packed. They just have a lot to worry about right now and a lot going on. So... J.K. Grammer made a GoFundMe page for him, and I was happy to contribute. Maybe some of you will be as well. If you really like the work Jamie does here, and even if that's your only reason, go check it out. And if you want to just help a guy out who's, you know, a little bit down on his luck at the moment, like literally, this is just bad luck. Yeah, it's his shoulder. That's right. Go check it out. This is over at tinyurl.com/JamieFamilyFund. That's J-A-M-I-E for Jamie. Jamie Family Fund, and you know, show some support. A little inter-community love to Jamie TMS mashups, and let him know you hope he feels better, and we can help him out in a way that is actually meaningful. So go check it out. That is the URL again, is tinyurl.com/JamieFamilyFund with a D. Chat says fun, but no, fund.
Jamie Family Fund.
Yep. And big thanks again to J.K. Grammer for heading that up. That was really nice of him to do that.
That was very cool.
Okay. And I'll mention that again when we have different mashups and stuff until he's better, because he is in a bit of a pinch right now. All right. Done away time.
I'm doing it right now, as a matter of fact.
I did it this morning. And
I see that.
We are all very grateful for Jamie and owe him a debt of gratitude for his fine work. There's another guy that comes on the show once in a while, two times a week, in fact, and he's kind of a dork, but we like him. Here he is.
He's a big dork.
Hey, look right there. It's Brian Dunaway, who has appeared out of nowhere to join us on today's Babel Royale edition of, what do we call it? The Morning Squirm.
Ooh, the Morning Squirm.
It's going to be fun. Hi, Dunaway. How are you?
Oh, hi, dorks.
Oh, hi. Hey, what are you doing? How was your weekend, Father of the Year? You got Father's Day, too. How'd that go for you?
I did. It went great. I took a big old nap. Like, I wonder if I could sleep till noon if I tried.
Yeah.
I did it.
Yeah, I did, too.
Congratulate me.
I got up early.
Congratulations.
I got up early on Sunday because the kids were coming over for some sort of breakfast thing.
Right.
So everybody showed up, and it was great. It was lovely. Kim made some really crazy good food, and it was great. And Carter made her rice bowls. It was fantastic. And then they were all goofing around and talking on the porch or on the backyard porch thing. And I was like, I'm going to just sit on this couch for a minute. I'm just gonna slip away for a moment. Yeah, just for a minute. I'm not gonna, you know, I'm not napping, not doing anything. I'm just gonna sit here and I'm gonna sketch out this baseball Wastelander drawing I was doing.
Oh,
so
yes.
So I sketched it out and then kind of put my sketchbook to the side, and then next thing I knew it was 2:30 in the afternoon and I had fallen asleep on the couch and not moved. So I recommend it.
Yeah, look, there's a couple of days a year that people like us, people who are insane and feel like they have to work all the freaking time, we can just go, you know what? I'm going to take a little nap. And our body goes, we are. And it's like,
Yeah, and it goes all in. It doesn't hold back at that point. And,
no.
I clearly needed it. But anyway, it was really great. And I hope you had a good Father's Day. You know, we spent it with my in-laws. So my father-in-law is the nicest man on the planet. Celebrated with him.
Oh, weird. Yeah. Mine's the nicest.
I know.
How did that happen?
I know. It's crazy how we all ended up with the nicest dad possible. And while I was there, I tried, I was going to tell Brian about this earlier, but I forgot. We tried watermelon with mustard on it.
I saw your TikTok.
Yeah. And I really? Did this. I did that this because gross. there was this like challenge going around saying that, oh, an amazing combo, watermelon and mustard. You have to try it. And as usual, the internet is either trolling you wrong or right, but you can't tell the difference, right? You don't know what's true on the internet. So I thought, let's give this a shot. I know that you can put, like, some people put, like, salt and certain kind of seasonings.
Salt on watermelon is very common, yeah.
Right. Yeah. I've done that with bananas before. Like, there is a sweet, salty combo you can do that works. But I'm thinking, I don't know, mustard. Yellow mustard, that seems crazy. So we went ahead and did it, me and Carter. It's just kind of, it's like I was eating watermelon and had some mustard at the same time.
Yeah, it's like oil and water, man. You know, it just ain't gonna mix.
There's no
mix. You basically got two flavors, not one flavor of the two of them merged, right? You basically
it's literally oil and water, right? Isn't mustard kind of like an oil based kind of product?
Oil.
And
it's,
watermelon's a water based.
Well,
kind
that's
of
a good
thing,
point. So that's a good point. That may be because they're from seeds, but yeah, like I think they're. Ibbot says it right. They didn't combine. Like they They just stayed the two things they are. We just happen to eat them simultaneously.
Everyone's trying to find the next peanut butter and chocolate. That's what they're trying to do, and they're never going to find it.
Keep looking.
Pretzels and mustard. They're
Ooh, that is good. But see, but that makes sense because it's, you know, it's like a bready thing with mustard. And, I don't know. Anyway, it was bad, and I was fat in it, in that video. So
I was fat in it.
Yeah, I was all fat. Somebody pointed out
it was the filter, man.
A guy on Twitter says, well, look, you're all scrunched over. We all do this. We fold in on ourselves. And I'm like, I know, but there's like 20 pounds there. I just see it. I can see it. It just needs
to
go.
Man, anybody eating watermelon and mustard is going to look fat. That's just that's just how that works out.
Oh, I look so fat. Anyway, so there's that. Hey, Dunaway, let's play a game. Brian Ibbot over here has the rules and how this is going to work. So, Brian, you want to tell us how this is going
to
work?
I do, yes. Welcome to the Morning Squirm, a back-and-forth trivia game where our players will match wits on topics that Cliff Clavin would have offered up at the Cheers bar. Scott and Brian will take turns answering multiple-choice trivia questions, and if they get it wrong, the other player gets a point. First player to 5 wins the prize for their contestant. Contestants have been pulled from members of the Tadpool that aren't able to listen live. So Scott is going to be playing for Super Dave from Clearwater, Florida.
Yeah.
And Brian is going to be playing for Matt from Chattanooga, Tennessee.
Oh, prepare for your prizes, Matt.
Yeah.
That's right.
Get ready to win,
buddy. This still says Randy from last Monday.
Oh, weird.
That's why.
I'm still hesitated. Randy from last Monday.
Little Randy. Got you a little Randy. Very good.
I should probably see a doctor.
Yeah, do that right away.
So, should we flip a coin? See who goes first.
Yeah, let's do
flip,
it. The TMS
I'm gonna
coin.
Flip an Apple AirTag because I
even
have
better.
It here.
Even better. Yeah.
You got either the Apple side or the white side. So
let's say Apple side should be heads, right? Wouldn't you say?
Well, okay.
Whatever.
Just call
it doesn't
Apple,
matter.
Just call Apple or white.
Yeah, Apple or
do,
white.
If you want to do heads or tails, sure.
Yeah, just go ahead and call white, Scott.
Okay, I'll call
it. I'm going to let you call it in the
end.
Oh,
yeah, you do it, Dunaway.
All right. It's flipped.
Apple
side. It did land Apple side up.
Nice.
Yes.
Well done.
So, Brian gets first question.
I was going to ask you what you think of those so far. Quick review. You like them?
So far, I like it. It's so freaking accurate. I've hidden it. you know, in the house, and not really hidden it because I knew exactly where to hit it.
I was about to say it's kind of hard to hide something from yourself.
I should have Tina hide it, but I did the thing, like, all right, 7 feet to your right. Now turn now. And then like, it took me right to it. It's impressive.
Really?
So I've got one on my bike. I've got one like in the, in like a little secret panel of our luggage.
Yeah. I'm both glad the technology works and also sad that the technology works that accurately.
It's a cool tech.
Well, yeah, like I'm doing it for my bike for a couple of reasons. Number one, if I die on my bike, Tina can find me a lot easier. Yeah. But also, if my bike gets stolen, this is a really good way to keep track of it.
Yeah.
The tile
ones still work pretty well if someone's
tile ones are supposed to be great too. Yeah. So really, it's, you know, if you have tile, there's no reason
no big
to swap
advantage,
to
yeah.
stuff.
Yeah.
Yeah.
All right. Let's do this.
Brian, first question goes to you.
Gimme.
Because I went on a road trip, I've got a first question is a road trip question. Every road trip involves somebody calling out shotgun. But what is the origin of that phrase? Uh-oh. Is it A, passengers literally carried shotguns to chase away robbers? B, farmers often rested shotguns in the passenger seat? Yeah. C, in the early 1900s, criminals would rob people by rolling up and pointing a shotgun in their face? Or D, in the early days of vehicle production, the seats were made from the same materials as guns?
Oh my gosh, none of those had the answer I thought it was going to have. You're good luck, dude.
I didn't hear any of the ones that I thought would be the right answer. I'm going to go with D because it sounds ridiculous. With the same material,
you're right. The seats are made from the same materials as guns. Right. The answer that is incorrect. Scott, what you've already got the point, but what did you think?
So can you give me the first two again? Just the top.
Sure. Passengers literally carried shotguns to chase away robbers, or farmers often rested their shotguns in the passenger seat.
I'm a shotgun.
I think it's the first. Hold on.
Firsty.
Did you say anything about like the Old West or anything in there?
Well, that's what I thought it was going to be
in the early 1900s, criminals would rob people by rolling up and pointing a shotgun in their face.
Yeah, and that doesn't work.
No.
All right, I'm going to say
A. Do it.
I think A. Yeah,
it is A. Passengers, and it, you know, that did come from the Old West, just didn't have it in the answer. But in the Old West, the passenger would be responsible for keeping robbers away. Stagecoach robbers by holding or keeping a shotgun.
Yeah, I knew that was the origin, but the way you phrased it, which is really devious, but still accurate, threw me.
And it really puts a spin on it too, because when someone yells shotgun to sit in the front seat, like, cool, this guy likes to sit in the front seat. But back then, if you yelled it, you know, all happy, shotgun,
yeah.
I got it.
Yeah, that means you're going to kill anybody who comes up to the side of that stagecoach and tries to rob you, which is a big commitment. That's a lot to, you know, it's a lot to take in.
Exactly. All right. So that question done. Let's go on to the next one. Scott, this one's for you.
All right.
A California woman once tried to sue the makers of Captain Crunch or Cap'n Crunch because,
Cap'n.
A, the captain looked exactly like her great-grandfather who once worked for the company.
Oh, my gosh.
B, eating the cereal daily allegedly made her teeth fall out. C, Crunch Berries contain no berries of any kind. Or D, the box that she purchased did not contain the prize that was offered on the front.
Man, it's hard not to go modern day idiot with this. Did you say when this happened?
I don't have the date on it.
All right. Well, I'm going to go with the lady who brought her teeth out and blamed it on the company because that just sounds like something somebody would do. Someone who doesn't want to take any responsibility for their life would sue for that.
All right. Is it eating the cereal daily allegedly made all her teeth fall out? No, that is incorrect.
Damn it!
I get to guess.
You get to guess.
I keep up with a lot of stupid trivia, like cereal trivia.
Yeah.
It seems like it was because she's mad because she's, you know, she's all Californian and she likes healthy food and she thinks there's fruit in there.
So her lawsuit was because Crunch Berries contain no berries of any kind?
Yeah.
Correct.
In 2010, a federal judge dismissed a class action brought by consumers claiming they were misled to believe that Captain Crunch's Crunch Berries contain nutritional value derived from real fruit. Throughout the case. Yes, indeed. 2010 was the year I looked it up while we
were These aren't real berries?
That just seems so
dumb. They're so
dumb.
Crunchy, I thought they were just puffed.
That seems so dumb to me. But it also sounds like it's more nuanced, like they were actually suing because of the claim.
It sounds like a troll to me. That's what it sounds
like.
Well,
maybe, but if you do a class action, you got a lot of people who are being trolls, potentially.
Yes.
Or you're wording it in such a way that says, well, look, the commercials say, you know, a valuable part of this breakfast or this...
It was literally that, you know, the woman who started the class action suit started because... Mm-hmm. There were no berries in Crunch Berries. There was no fruit.
Yeah, but the way you read it sounded more
Crunch Berries contain no berries of any kind.
not the answer, but your court description when you gave
your court description.
Gotcha.
Yeah.
Okay. The stenographer.
Yeah. Read that one part.
Translation.
Read that one part one more time. The part about the 2010 case.
A California. Oh, I closed the tab.
Oh, never mind. You don't have it.
All right.
Okay. Oh, man, if you want to read some interesting trivia stuff, read about the Captain Crunch stuff. It is, he's always in hot water.
He's always in trouble? Really?
He's always in cold milk.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Poor Captain. You know what? Let's give you another question. This one's going to Scott about the Captain of Crunch. What is Captain Crunch's full name? Is it Horatio Magellan Crunch, Corrado Azzolino Crunch, Cristiano Castro Crunch, or Hart T. Crunch? Hart T. Crunch.
Ooh.
Oh, you made it harder.
Hartier. He made it Hartier, Scott.
Why does the Horatio ring a bell?
Because you've read Hamlet recently.
Maybe. The last one, I guess. That one would make the most sense to me from a...
Like a pun standpoint. Yeah. Heart T Crunch. Yeah.
Something they just made up for Twitter.
Yeah.
That is incorrect, damn Brian. It.
Yeah, that would be Horatio.
Is it?
It is
Horatio Magellan Crunch. Yes. He's going to traverse the world with his Crunch Berries.
I should have gone with my gut. That rang a bell, and I should have done it.
Horatio Magellan Crunch. Yes, a discoverer and a Hamlet.
I want to say I learned that on BuzzFeed of all stupid places, if I remember correctly.
Really? That sounds like something BuzzFeed would teach you, yeah.
Right.
That's what they teach you. Yes, the educational value of BuzzFeed. All right.
That's right. All right. Let's see here. Let's do this one because this is appropriate, right? We tried to spread my grandmother's and grandfather's ashes. We actually did, by the way, eventually do it yesterday morning.
It did happen. I guess really we never got to that. But yeah, I guess you finally did. That's good.
That's right. Yep. Okay. This one is.
You should check back next spring and see if a new grandma and grandpa are growing there.
Right. Oh, did I do the order?
Wow. I don't know if I should laugh at that or be mortified.
You know, it's like seeds. It's like, you know, you plant them, you get the new grandpa. I get it.
That's right. All right. This one's going back to Brian. In 2013, a man was arrested for spreading the ashes of his fiancée inside one of her favorite places.
Oh, my God.
Was that place a Chipotle, a Lens Crafters, a Target, or a Chuck E. Cheese?
What the
frick? What year was this?
2013.
What?
Dude, I gotta go Target. I don't want to go Target, but I gotta go Target.
Okay.
All right. Is it Target? No, it is not.
Oh, daggum it.
Scott, do you have a guess?
I know which one I want it to be. I'll say Chuck E. Cheese because that's where I'd want it to be. I may as well go with my gut again. Chuck E. Cheese.
Right. Yeah. Right. Is it Chuck E. Cheese? No, it is not.
Damn it.
October 16th, 2013. Florida man. By the way.
Oh, don't say Chipotle.
Spread his fiance's ashes at Lens Crafters.
That is crazy. There's nowhere in the world.
Did we do this?
An evacuation of a Sarasota, Florida mall.
We may have
My
done
favorite
this.
Place to shop is Lens Crafters. That's not a thing.
No, but I think we may have done this story. Like, literally
It feels
done
like
this
we
story.
Should have done this story, yeah?
Yeah.
Can you see her now?
It's familiar now in my head that we've talked about it. Now I feel stupider. All right. Well, I'm doing great.
No, you should not. Even if you can ask me it again next week and I still won't get it. I'll still miss that one every time.
Well, there you go. We'll see how it goes.
All right, final question. It's 2-2. So the winner of this question wins for their person.
Team.
Back to Scott for this one.
Right.
The number of jars of Nutella sold in a year could cover this popular tourist spot 8 times.
Oh.
Is it the Eiffel Tower, the Space Needle, the Hoover Dam, or the Great Wall of China? The number of jars of Nutella sold in a year.
Jeez. You say the Great Wall of China?
I'm going to need to know the thickness.
Well, doesn't
of the layer.
How thick it's spread?
Well, yeah. Hold on though. But the Great Wall of China, you just mean on the wall or within its walls?
No, you cover.
Cover it. Okay. So cover. Surface area.
Like it was a cake, Scott.
Got it.
You're not going to inject it on the inside.
Well,
of the
reason I ask is because that wall doesn't have there's no close to it. It's not a bowl. So that's why I was wondering. It's not like a container. All right.
Yeah. No. Imagine the Eiffel Tower isn't. Well, actually, no. I guess it would be right. It would be covering the bars that make up the Eiffel Tower, right, or the surface of the Hoover Dam. Or
yeah, you're making a cake with it.
The Space Needle, exactly.
You're frosting the item.
Right.
I really don't know, so I'm just gonna say I like the Hoover Dam. Hoover Dam. Let's do Hoover Dam.
All right. Is it the Hoover Dam? No, it is not. Brian, do you have a guess? You won, by the way, for your player, but do you have a guess?
Right. I want to, it seems insane, so I'm going to say the Great Wall.
From Nutella's website, Nutella.com, Curiosities, you could cover the Great Wall of China 8 times with the number of jars sold of Nutella per year.
Lame.
That is a lot of Nutella.
Also, that is way too much Nutella, you guys. That is too much.
Yeah. Remember when Nutella tried to convince us it was the healthier alternative?
Yeah, remember that? It's like, why use peanut butter when you can use Nutella, which is better or the same? And you're like, no.
I can't decide between this Captain Crunch Berries, which has real berries in it, or...
All right. Well,
yeah, the amount of Nutella produced in 1 year weighs the same as the Empire State Building.
Wow.
Yeah.
Well, we're playing for the South today, and Matt Young is our winner. Chattanooga, right. Tennessee.
Congratulations, Matt. Oh, I didn't tell what the games are. So we have our carryover games from last week. Dead in Bermuda and Stick Fight the Game are going to be going to Matt in Chattanooga, Tennessee. But Dave, Super Dave, isn't going away empty-handed. He's getting Doom, courtesy of Chris. So big thanks to Zachy and Chris for sending
which
in
Doom?
These codes.
It'd be 2016's Doom, right? Probably.
I guess so. Yeah, probably. Always. Yeah.
There's so many ways to get Doom. I mean, you can run Doom on anything.
Well,
but it's not a physical prize.
Not that game.
Right.
You can't run Doom 2016 on anything. But yeah, like.
Didn't somebody hook up Doom to play on a Tamagotchi or something recently? Oh, yeah. There's something I just saw that was hacked to play Doom.
Somebody played it on a fridge once. We had a microwave.
I think that's what it is.
You can put it on anything these days. The old Doom, anyway. Yep. But that new Doom is awesome. In fact, I'd argue 2016's Doom is better than the new Eternal one. So you're getting the good of the better of the two, in my opinion. Real quick here, Lenin in the chat says it's not pronounced Nutella, it's Nutella.
That's what I'm looking at right now. I'm trying to see here.
That's true.
I'm still on the Nutella site, but
yeah, that's how you say it.
It is Nutella, not Nutella.
I've always said Nutella.
Yeah, it's nut. I think the nut part is supposed to be emphasized. Yeah,
oh, yeah.
Correct.
Oh, yeah, baby.
I believe that's what I've been told before.
It was originally called Gianduja't.
Wow.
That wasn't selling well.
Nope.
Yeah.
The Gianduja't was not good.
I mean,
good.
It makes sense, right? Because it's a hazelnut, not a hazelnut.
Well, it's originally an Italian product, so we're going to find out how you're supposed to say it for real. So here you go. Enjoy this. Here's the pronunciation.
Buongiorno. This is Julian, the guy who makes pronunciation videos here on YouTube, and we are looking at how to pronounce the name of
brand of sweetened hazelnut and cocoa spread made in Italy by famous chocolate maker Ferrero. So how would you go about pronouncing this with the typical Italian pronunciation? Of course, you can always say Nutella, but with the typical Italian pronunciation, how would you say it in Italy? Well, that would be Nutella. Nutella.
It is Nutella. So forget, hey, lemonade. The Italian guy says Nutella.
Okay. Look, Scott just he pulled that YouTube video out.
If I talk for another 14 minutes, then my YouTube rank will go up to Scott.
Yeah. And so that's the de facto answer? Yeah, I don't think so. I'm going to need a better source than that, my friend.
I
need
to see some credentials. I like that it made him Russian. That's fantastic.
Yeah. I did.
You make your rank on YouTube.
It's too much hassle to pronounce it Nutella, so you pronounce it Nutella.
You make your genitals sky high.
In Russia, Telenuts you.
All right. Well, that was awesome. And that means that, we got to celebrate one more time. Matt Young winning. Here you go, Matt.
Winner, winner, chicken dinner.
But don't worry, Super Dave, because there's always next time there, bud. And yes. Don't
you
still worry.
You still get Doom. So,
oh, yeah, you're getting really, Doom either way.
It was, nothing.
Actually, you could argue he won.
I don't know. Stick Fight the Game and Dead in Bermuda.
Yeah, they're okay.
Yeah.
It is. If you're looking at pure quantity, sure, it's two games versus one. But, you could argue we got the better game. So maybe I lost that on purpose. Maybe this is all part of the plan. That's what I'm saying.
Through the game.
Dunaway. So tomorrow, the Boop Show, of course, always. We do that on Tuesdays. Looking forward to that. And this weekend, FilmSack is back with a full episode covering Toys. Barry Levinson's Toys. I think it's the right one, right? When Robin Williams
and
all that?
Yeah,
absolutely.
Okay. Correct.
Yes.
Never saw Toys. I've seen every Barry
Joan
Levinson
Cusack,
movie.
Joan Cusack, LL Cool J.
Oh, his mama told him to do something. So that'll be fun because we missed, we had a week off for Brian's trip, and now we're back. Although we did put up a watch along, so people go check that out. It was for the Tuvix episode of Voyager, which was really weird.
And, don't bring that up. I'm still hurt about that.
Watch Janeway kill Tuvix.
I did spoiler.
Spoiler. Whatever. Janeway's a horrible, horrible multi-ethnic
and technically
murderer.
She didn't kill him.
Who did? Who's the technical killer? I mean,
she
the
didn't
order.
Do it. Wasn't her dirty hands.
Yeah, but you could, but that's like saying the guy at the gas camp who killed some poor old man, that Hitler's not. You got to give Hitler trouble. You got to give Hitler credit.
Hitler
some credit.
Yeah, give Hitler some credit for those murders. Damn it!
You got to give him some trouble.
You got to give Hitler the credit.
How many jars of Nutella would it take to cover Hitler?
Oh my gosh! With now knowing what we know, enough to kill him, and that's great. Kill Hitler, I always say. Brian Dunaway, have a good week. We'll see you later. Oh, that better not be controversial about killing Hitler. If somebody's got a problem with that, then
they're
going to have to email me and explain their position because. Holy Moses.
All right. I can't believe you'd suggest to kill Hitler.
I mean, now you're just as bad as him.
No. No, I'm not. Not even close.
All right. What time is it? Oh, gosh. We got to take a break. When we come back, we'll spend some time with Bill. And, and it'll be great. So stick around for that. Brian, do you want to play a song, though, to take us on the break here?
Yeah. Now, are you familiar with the name William Goldsmith?
Yes, actually, I think I am. Or I may be thinking of Jerry Goldsmith or his son,
Joel. You could be thinking, William Goldsmith is a founding member of the band Sunny Day Real Estate, but he was also a member of Foo Fighters. He's got a brand new band called Assertion, and they have their debut LP now available. This thing is so good. Rolling Stone just called it one of the best albums of 2021 so far. So that should say something. This thing feels, has a lot of Foo Fighters feel to it. It's really, really good. The new album is called Intermission. Here is the song that's called Down Into the Depths.
Yeah. Wondering, I still have not found a girlfriend yet. I am still single.
Yes, sir, kids. We'll send you a real Maverick belt.
The Morning Stream.
Hey, Leo, you're gonna have more sex than anyone in our class.
Everybody, welcome back to the program. That song again, yes, Brian.
That song again is called Down in the Depths, performed by the band Assertion.
Lovely. I keep thinking insertion, but I know that's not what you're saying.
Please don't think it's that.
No.
And look for that.
Yeah. One quick note about music. We listened to a lot of, for whatever reason, we listened to a lot of REM this weekend. And
Probably because of Spatial Audio. I think you added a bunch of their stuff, right?
Oh, yeah. I think that is actually what got me pulled in, because I think it was Drive or something that was redone, and I went, I'm gonna hang around here for a while and just listen to REM all weekend, and I did. And my question to you is,
yes,
desert island all by yourself, you can only have one track, not album.
Oh, one track by
track
REM.
From REM. Who do you basically, I'm saying, what's your favorite REM track is what I'm asking. Doesn't have to happen.
That's a really good
question. It's a hard question, right? I put this out on Twitter and nobody answered the same.
Well, no, Pretty Persuasion.
Oh, there you go. That's a great one. Great pick.
Yeah.
I like Radio Free Europe, but I think I would tire of it.
I think I'd get tired of that one, too. I like Don't Go Back to Rockville, and I like Driver 8.
Yeah.
And is it called I've Been There, You Can't Get There From Here?
Yeah.
I've been there, you can't get there from here.
Something like that, yeah.
That's a good one. if you want to, you know, if you're stuck on a desert island, it's probably the best place to learn the lyrics to It's the End of the World as We Know It, because you'll have plenty of time to get them memorized. But
that song's so good, though. I love that song. I also like Kings of Birds, or King of Birds, is that it? On Document. Document's a great album, by the way.
It is a good album.
It's also a great name for an album.
Title.
What an amazing title for an album.
Yeah.
Document.
Man in the Moon's good, too.
Yeah.
Annie Kaufman's Gone Wrestling. Yeah.
I think part of it is your age, Jedi 71. If you grew up when me and Brian did, REM was they left an impression, man.
Everybody in the dorm had Document or Crush, not Crush. What was the album? The album that had Stand and all that stuff on it.
Oh, right. Stand in the place. That was
Shiny Happy People.
I don't remember the name of the album for some reason.
Yeah.
Murmur. Anyway,
they all had that album, whatever the hell it was.
Yeah, whatever that was. Everybody had it. Right. It was orange. I remember it was orange, or kind of bright color compared to some of their previous albums.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm pulling it up right now. Automatic for the People is not it, but that's a good album too. Dead Letter Office is a great, Eponymous is their good Greatest Hits album. It is out. Nope, not Out of Time is the one after that. I guess I don't have it ripped yet on here.
According to PasteMagazine.com, their favorite song is Talk About the Passion from Murmur.
The album is Green.
Oh, Green. That's it. Green.
Oh, Talk About the Passion. That's a great song.
Yeah. They have just really great. Their catalog is awesome. I even like What's the Frequency, Kenneth. And a lot of people hate that era, but I like that song and that album.
Oh, I forgot about Talk About the Passion. That is up there for me.
What's the Frequency, Kenneth? I was telling that story to my daughter in the car, and she was like blown away about its origins and Dan Rather and the weirdo yelling at him and all that.
Yes, right?
That was great. All right. Let's now...
Yeah, the album's Green, by the way. I said that, but I'm going to say it again because enough people in the chat room are yelling about it.
Yeah, Green. Green is correct.
I've been hooked on Olivia Rodrigo lately. Her debut album, for whatever reason, just been on constant replay.
Olivia Rodrigo? I'm writing it down.
Olivia Rodrigo. She's super, it's poppy. It's new pop stuff, but I think she's really good. And I don't know why.
I like some of that stuff. I'm down with that. I can't stop playing The Weeknd and Ariana Grande's combo Save Your Tears. I don't know why I can't stop listening to that. That song's great. Yeah. That's why, because it's good. Feels like the 80s creeped up my butt and said, hey, I'm staying here.
I think so.
All right. Hey, look at this, you guys.
Your bat cave's open there, Bill.
Straight from the Pacific Northwest and the home of Punished Props comes one Bill Duran, who heads on over here on Mondays, and we talk about the world of making and makers. Bill, welcome back.
Good morning.
Nice to have you here.
It is looking great out today. I'm excited.
The entire western side of the country is having this horrible drought. I don't know how Washington fares in this. You guys doing all right?
Seattle do with that.
Gets a little droughty up here, but mostly it's just warm. Excited though, because there are some trees in my neighborhood where a pair of tiny falcons live. And little Merlin falcons. And I've been trying my best to get some good photos of them.
Oh, very
nice. Today I wanted to talk a little bit about wildlife photography, some tips if anyone wants to get into it, because I am getting into it big time.
I love when we dip back into your love of photography in general, but especially when, do you call this birding, or is this some sort of a general sort of?
I would just say wildlife photography. Okay. I'm trying to take pictures of animals that I don't own.
Okay.
And also that don't, that I can't entice to my house with food.
Sure.
So there are plenty of crows around my house, but they show up for a bird bath and everything. And I mean, I could take a couple pictures of crows, but they're not the most exciting subjects.
No. When they start talking, they are. When they talk, they're very exciting, but it's rare.
Oh, they're so exciting.
Yeah.
So I've always loved taking animal photos. My pets get photoed a lot. A lot. Yeah. Of the photos I put on the internet of my pets, I have taken... for every one I post, there are probably 30 I didn't. but I really love, if I can get it, wild animals. I love trying to get animals in their natural habitat. I do love going to the zoo, and that's great for practice.
I also like the zoo. Nothing wrong with the zoo here and there.
Oh, yeah. Actually, the zoo there in Utah, Scott, the Hogle Zoo, is incredible.
Yeah, it used to be garbage back when I was growing up. It was kind of a dumb zoo, and they went nuts with it, and it's super cool now. That's a great zoo.
Yeah, and their bird show is extraordinary, too.
Oh, yeah. It's really good. It's so good, and they finally are doing that one again. But it's awesome because it's in this like amphitheater space with a covering that keeps the sun off everybody. And they've got birds, you know, that are like 2 miles away in a giant perch.
A falcon. They throw like a speck of food on the ground, and the falcon hundreds of yards away is like, got it. And it just dives in and nails it. Yeah, it's so incredible.
They swoop around your head. It is very good. Cool. So yeah, if you're ever in Salt Lake and anyone out there is like, I'm bored, I want to go to the zoo, you'll have a good time there. It's good.
You definitely will. Yeah. If you do go to the zoo and you want to take pictures of the animals, get there right when the zoo opens, right in the morning. The animals tend to be less active as the day goes on, and they tend to be most active around feeding time. So if you can figure out when their feeding times are, you can ask the folks there. That's probably the time you're most likely to get the animals. Like, the worst thing ever is I've rented a lens and like, I'm gonna go to the zoo, take pictures of all these cool animals. You get there and they're all asleep, or they're just like hiding behind a tree or whatever.
Yeah, especially so in the summer.
Get there early.
Yeah, because the summer when the heat hits, they all poop out. They're all done.
Oh, yeah. Yep. Especially in the summer.
Yeah.
So one of the best things you can do for taking photos of wild animals is to learn your subjects. Read the Wikipedia page about whatever bird you're trying to take a picture of. Learn their daily habits and patterns, so like what time of day they're active. For example, we have bunny rabbits that run around in our backyard, and I'm starting to notice when they're active and when they're not. During the middle of the day, the bunny rabbits tend to be lounging somewhere and sleeping. But you know, earlier in the day and then in the afternoon, they also eat.
So do you ever name them and see like the same one show up and go, oh, there's Carl back for more?
Yes, there was a bunny rabbit a couple of years ago with a big notch taken out of his ear, so we named him Notch.
Oh, that's great.
And he came back the next year, at least. He had the same notch. I took two photos. I matched them. But he did not come back the next year.
Yeah, but he also invented Minecraft and retired with $1.9 million.
You know what? That's probably it. He probably retired with his billions of dollars.
Yeah, definitely the same notch. Yeah, for sure.
Another big thing to know is when and what your animals eat. So when they eat and what they eat and where they eat it. So if you can hang out near where an animal you want to take a photo of drinks every day, like maybe they stop to drink at the same place every day, you hang out there and eventually they'll show up. Here's another good tip. With a lot of photography, you know, you'll say, it doesn't really matter what camera you get. You can use the one in your phone. For wildlife photography, it's not really true. Gear very much matters when you're trying to get... The problem is, the thing you want to take a photo of is far away. You want to get close up to it. But if you walk close up to it, that thing will run away from you. It'll be afraid of you.
Yeah, they don't like you. Sure.
You do need a good telephoto lens. This is a lens that is zoomed way in. I've gotten by with like a 200 millimeter lens for a long time, and that works pretty well. But if you really get into animal photography, you want to get birds that are really far away, you got to get something a little bit a little longer and a little bit more expensive. And I actually just bought, this is why this is on my mind, I bought a 600 millimeter lens last week.
Whoa.
Specifically for taking photos of birds and stuff.
600 millimeter. That's awesome. What's your effective distance for like a close up with that? Probably pretty good.
Yeah, it's hard to tell. Explain with words how zoomed in it is.
But yeah,
it is substantially three times more than my previous one.
Oh, that's a lot. Yeah. So, I mean, are you better off? Do you think if you're really into this, get your own lens, but renting them is okay for?
I would recommend to figure out if you don't know exactly what lens you want to get. I recommend renting them, and I've rented lenses a lot, especially for animal photography. So I took a trip down to Florida a few years ago, and I rented a 400 millimeter lens. And actually, the photo on my desktop of my picture, I'm looking at it right now, this great blue heron, I got a picture of just his head, perfectly framed, because I was able to zoom so far in without getting close to him and scaring him off. So rent a lens, and if you find one that you like, a lot of the rental places will let you like buy it at a slight discount.
Where do you? Are there places still like what was the name of that place we used to go all the time here in the city? There used to be there was a photo place, and all they did was rent cameras and lenses. Mm-hmm. And I don't remember the name of the damn thing. Where would you go today? What? Would you just look them up on the internet and go, I need local lens rental, and that's how you'd find it I guess?
There's online ones, too. They'll mail stuff to you. I've done that a lot.
Okay.
They'll mail you the lens. Box, you can mail it back.
Oh, that's cool. I didn't know that was a thing you could do.
I actually rented camera gear probably from that place in Salt Lake when we did that photo shoot at Nerdtacular.
Yes, you did. What was the name of it?
Oh, I don't remember. Right. I've been there.
It's probably still there, and I just don't know it because I have no reason to go in there. But they were a big, not Wolf. No, I don't remember the name of it. KT Data would probably know, but I don't know if he's in the chat this morning. Anyway.
So other gear, the lens is probably the most important thing for animal photography. The camera you buy is pretty important, although a lot of all the new DSLR type cameras are all really, really good. Tripod can be super handy. The only thing I would say you need for the camera would be a decent autofocus. The lens matters too when it comes to autofocus as well. If an animal starts to move, there is no way any human being is going to keep track with the focus manually. It doesn't happen. You got to have good autofocus to take pictures of moving animals.
Sure.
Super important.
Sure, sure. So when I see these guys doing like fancy Richard Attenborough business and their lenses are like 16 miles long, I mean, it's these kinds it's these kinds of lenses, right? That's the stuff.
We can look at the pores of the housefly as we look at them.
And I'm here to tell you, those lenses, my new lens was about $2,000, which is a good amount of money to spend on a decent lens.
Yeah.
The lens those guys are using.
Yeah.
those lenses cost in the 10 to hundreds of thousands of dollars.
Wow.
There.
Holy smokes.
The price jumps up dramatically.
And that's whenever you talk to like photo people, they always just call it glass, almost like they're talking drugs or something. It's like, oh yeah, dude, I can't get enough glass. I need more glass or whatever.
Uh-huh.
But I didn't realize you could spend in the, you know, I guess I kind of thought there might be a lens around the 50K mark, but 100K or more. Holy Moses.
Oh yeah. The lenses that they use for like filming sports games, those professional lenses.
Yeah.
Hundreds, plural, of thousands of dollars. Yeah.
Wow.
They're insane. They can, if you watch, not that I would expect you to be watching a baseball game. I certainly would.
I like baseball. It's fun.
However,
it's all right.
If you're watching a sports game and you see them zoom way, just pay attention to a 10-second zoom in where they show the whole field and then that same lens zooms in on a player's nostril hair.
Yeah,
like those lenses are so crazy.
Yeah, that's why I watch those games, is for the nostril hair. So I'm really glad when they get there.
All right, so the last tip here for your photography, just lots and lots of practice. Digital photos are free. One of the reasons I shoot photos of my pets is because it's practice. Especially when it comes to like tinkering with your camera settings. To get a shot that is in focus, not blurry, all that fun stuff. Just lots and lots of practice. Work on your technique. When you're shooting a picture of an animal, the basically what you want to try and do is get their eyes in focus. So focus on the animal's eyes and try and get a shot that isn't too blurry. A huge part of that, especially if you're shooting something far away, is just shooting with a fast enough shutter speed.
Yeah.
The rule of thumb there is, let's say I'm shooting my 600 millimeter lens. I want to shoot at 1/600th of a second or faster, usually at least double, so that the image isn't blurry when I take the photo. You don't realize it, but especially when you're zoomed in, when you take the picture, when you push that button, your hand moves the camera, and that's enough to cause some.
Oh yeah, especially if you're all the way in, one micro movement is enough to screw it up.
Yeah.
So do you have to get their permission or have them sign a waiver with animals?
Not the birds, okay. No. Right. No, they can't even read. I've tried.
Well, at least you tried. See, that's the important part. You tried.
Right. The last tip is just patience. Like, the most important thing when it comes to taking pictures of animals is patience. You're going to do a lot of time sitting and waiting for animals to do something.
Yeah.
And you can't make them do anything. They will not do the thing you want them to do. You just have to wait.
Yeah. And like in your case, let's say you're out there looking for those birds you were talking about. What do you want them to do, and how likely is it that they'll do that thing that you want?
with the Falcons, I want to get a good shot of them flying.
Yeah.
So what I'll do is, if I see them in a tree branch, I'll sit there and point the camera at them, and I'll wait. And my camera is set so that when I hold down the shutter button, it takes like 5 photos all at once.
Right.
So as soon as they move, I go, snap, 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 snap. And then I cross my fingers, and I hope that there's a picture of it, like, with its wings stretched out, looking really cool. So far, that hasn't happened yet.
So I
and I have a lot of blurry pictures of birds on my phone, or on my camera.
I was thinking it'd be cool if there was a way, you know, because all these cameras have little remote triggers now, so you can do that. So you have less of that movement problem. But if you're birding and you're really focused in on the bird, all hands on deck, it's not like you put it between your knees. Like, what are you going to do? You're not going to do a little Kegel exercise to set off the shutter.
I have my camera set up on my tripod pointing at the tree.
Yeah.
And I was just staring at it for a while.
Hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You can't not, because the bird will fly away in like 3 seconds. Then you look up at you read Twitter for a moment. You look up, the bird's gone. Right. Oh, that sucks.
Yeah.
I like.
And then you don't know where the bird is. That's the worst. It flew off, and you're like, well, now I don't even know where it is.
I like the ones I like the ones in those videos, like the Attenborough videos, where like a weasel or a seal or something will end up on the guy's head because he's holding so still and has been there so long. He's just part of the furniture. I love that. I think that's so great. Now I want to see you doing that. I want to see Bill with like a happy little bird bouncing around on his head.
There you go. Yep. That'd be great.
Well, that's great. Good advice. If that sounds fun. It's so funny. I was just talking to Kim about this because we were noticing these new kind of birds around the lake we've never seen before. And we don't know if they were brought there, if they migrated there themselves. Like, we just have all these questions and they're really loud and cool. They have orange heads. And we thought, it'd be cool if we had a camera where we could just like shoot that. And then here you are talking about it 2 days later.
Hey, look at that.
Insane. In the membrane. All right, let's get a bonus link out of you. Let's squeeze that out of you. What do you got this week?
Yeah, got a YouTube video. This is from a channel I just found called Alpay, Alpay Effie.
Alpay.
He's an artist, a painter. There's a handful of artists on YouTube who are doing this collaboration where one of them painted part of a painting and then mailed the canvas to the next person. They painted another part of it and so on. It's almost done. This guy just added his part and then it's going off to one more person to get finished, I think.
Oh, wow.
But it's been a really cool project over the last couple of months to see it come together. Each person adds their own bit to it.
So we
and
do
it's
this,
been a great way to learn about new artists on YouTube.
We do this game around here with me and Carter and Nick and others, whoever's around. We'll basically pass an iPad and a pencil around and do this very thing. We call it add-on, and it's super simple and easy. But man, passing around a canvas,
a whole big canvas,
from with place paint to place, on it, like you're not doing anything you can undo,
right?
Yeah.
That's intense. That's a big deal. That's cool. I'm going to watch this whole thing. But it looks like some of the principles are the same. It's like, hey, I'm going to put something weird here, and then you're going to have to figure out what to do next with it. And,
right, exactly.
Yeah, totally, I love that kind of thing. So very, very cool. Oh, and they left him a chunk at the top to work in.
There you go. That's great.
Yeah,
I love it.
I want that on my wall. That'd be rad.
I know. I think when they're done, they're going to do prints and stuff, and I think it's going to be a charity thing too, which is pretty neat.
That's really cool. Very, very cool. So go check that out.
This is freaky as hell. This piece of
It is pretty freaky. Alpay, the colors are awesome, though. I love that.
Yeah, they are.
Alpay FA on the YouTuber there business. And they can also find Bill over there at Punish Props and punishprops.com. Bill, have a great week, and we'll see you next time.
All right. Bye.
Okay. Bye.
Should do one of these with you, Carter, Dunaway, Steve Hammaker. Joel Duggan,
I've seen you draw. You are better than than you think. You're actually. I mean, I know you're good. I already know you're good. It's just a matter of.
You're crazy.
We're both shitty at actual canvases, though. Because
maybe
I
that's
am.
It. Yeah, actually, I'm definitely shitty at canvases.
I used to be.
Can we do just a sheet of cold press?
Yeah, let's do a sheet of cold press.
It's in a padded envelope, a lot better.
Yeah, let's do some.
Oh yeah, Audi, of course. Yeah.
Yeah, get Audi involved. A couple other dudes in the community who all dudes and ladies who like to draw and paint.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
That would be really cool. All right, there's your good times with Bill. And that is kind of the end of the show because what's his name's not here this week. What's his name?
Steven Schleicher. He's at the DMV. I think he'd much rather be here on the show with us than be hanging out at the DMV with his son today.
Pretty much guaranteed. Yeah. However, we don't like to leave you empty-handed, and so we won't. We're going to play, much to my chagrin, another edition of me freaking out playing Resident Evil 8. Now, this is the fourth edition of, or the fourth portion of that game playthrough. Tonight is the sixth, so the actual live play tonight with me and John, and I think we're done after this one. I'm pretty sure we're going to beat it tonight. So if you've missed any of that series, it's up on YouTube, and Jamie's been putting together this awesome thing. So we're gonna play it. I think I probably say shit a lot here.
You think?
Yeah, there's probably a lot of sort of,
oh shit,
that sort of thing. Me screaming, who knows? But listen and find out in part four of Scott Plays Resident Evil 8.
It's time to get upright. It's time to kill the monkey on the Muppet Show tonight.
Happy Mandible Adventure. Ugh.
What is this throbbing bullshit here? Shit! Oh my shit! Gosh dang it, what the hell is this? Oh, shit! Did you see that? John! Pigs!
Man, rare pig.
Hold on. Fish! Oh shit! Oh shit! No, 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 no! Shitholes! Shitholes! Get off, dick!
Oh shit!
Shit monkeys! What is that? Oh, who we got? Who we got?
Ew, look at his little hosey thing in the back.
Wow, he's that. Shit balls. Okay. Oh shit!
Do you ever find that you like to cook chicken?
Oh no! Shit monkeys!
Ew, that's foul.
Shit balls!
Ugh.
Magnum.
That's for condoms.
Oh shit! Oh! Oh!
Okay, now I can open the sluice gate.
Ugh, shit, my eyes, dude. Shit! Shit! Me! What is this?
Oh, that's a big testicle, dude.
Mermaid ball!
Right in the tail feathers, dick.
Oh, no, 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 no! Shit! Oh, shit! Shit monkeys!
Oh, no, 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 no.
Gosh dang it. I'm taking the thing out of your crotch. Shit!
It came running at me.
Dick!
Ooh, he just humped toward me.
Come here, pig. Come here, you dick. Come here. Fire at me, dick. Ooh, baldy, baldy, McGaldy. Oh, shit. Shit, 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 shit. Shit! Shit on me. Shit on me. Shit on me. Shit on me. Please die.
Can I ask you a question?
Yes.
Why was your battle cry, shit on me?
I don't know.
Shit monkeys!
I don't know what happened.
Get away! Get away!
Fart!
All right, Eyeball Junior.
La 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 la.
I gotta be. What did he say? I'm the best.
Yeah. That's so dumb.
I'm the best.
Oh my gosh, dude.
I've been getting crap about that shit on me all week. So
yeah, with good reason. That feels like a weird thing to utter in times of peril.
Well, somebody pointed out, and J.K. Grammer, I'll bet, could be the guy to find this real fast. But I said, or somebody found the movie clip from a movie we saw for FilmSack where I yelled shit, or where the character yells shit on me while he's getting killed or chased,
really?
Or something. And it made me think maybe subconsciously that's where that got pulled from. Oh, is this it? Third illusion. All right, let's play it.
Wow. The Crow, okay, yeah.
Yeah, so The Crow, we watched that forever ago.
Yeah.
And here's that guy yelling that. So here you go.
Gold. You're looking for a coroner. Shit for brains.
Okay, shoots at The Crow. And the Crow heals.
Oh, shit. Oh, shit on me. Shit on me. Shit on me!
All right, so I think that's maybe it.
Wow, maybe. That's bizarre. Yeah,
I don't know. When I saw that, I've kind of flipped out a little because I was like, oh, okay, now I get it.
That is my favorite R.E.M. song, by the way, is Shit On Me.
Oh, Shit On Me was amazing. Yeah. That was all part of Automatic for the People.
Oh, shit on me, don't shit on me.
It's the end of
shit on me.
Yeah, see? That's exactly it. All right. Well, I got to give that to John because I don't think he's seen that yet. But he'll laugh his head off because he thinks it's so weird that I would say that. Now I feel like I've been a little vindicated. Our brains are weird. We pull out old memories.
Yeah.
Perhaps that was it.
A little bit.
All right. Moving on. And a reminder there at the end here. Tiny.url. Sorry. Yes. tinyurl.com/Jamie Family Fun. Go help him out. He is awesome.
Yeah, with a D. Yeah.
With a D. The Family Fun GoFundMe will happen later, but the fund is for now. And again, thanks to JK Grammer for spearheading that.
Yeah, really just like $150 away from the goal. So
we'll get there in no time. That
emergency surgery taken care of. Yeah, so
let's get over that hump, you guys, and help our old pal out.
What a beautiful family, by the way, that Jamie has.
Oh, yeah, they're great. Look at those kids. Come on now. Just want to just hang out with his kids. Forget Jamie. Let's just hang out with his kids. Just kidding, Jamie. I'm a sucker for cool kids and great parents, and you guys seem like you're awesome. Absolutely. So well done. All right. We're out of here. A reminder to the fine folks at home that the show is not free. It may seem to some of you that it is, but it's really on the backs of those who support us at Patreon. Without them, we wouldn't have a show. So if you want cool stuff in the mail every month, if you want constant bonus content every day of the week that we do a show, if you want free shows all the time and extra stuff, that's how you get it. So go take advantage of our poor planning and sign up today. Patreon.com/TMS. And for everything else, song requests, whatever you're looking for, frogpants.com/TMS. And if you're trying to email us, that's super simple in 2021. Just send us an email, themorningstream@gmail.com. All right, Brian.
True.
I believe that's true. All the tail end of the business of the show. Unless you have anything.
Except for one more thing.
Yeah, tell us about the play date, please.
This Friday play date. Yes, the day before I go on a 78-mile bike ride. Like a fool. We're going to play some games with you guys for patrons and for non-patrons. Friday at 2 p.m. I was putting the 2 the in two, the day.
Right. Yeah.
Friday the 25th of June at 2 p.m. Mountain Time. We're going to be doing a Frog Pants play date. So come join us. Play games with us. Do all that fun stuff. And we'd love to see you there.
Yeah, it'll be great. I'm very much looking forward to it. And a tiny reminder that should be obvious, but maybe it's not for some. That means no PM on Friday. That'll be this instead. As a result, I'm going to see if I can get Dan to come join us if he's around. I don't know if he will be.
Oh, perfect. Yes.
Love to bring Dan in on some of these and possibly other friends if they're around. But one way or the other, for sure, 2 p.m. this Friday. So it's our monthly play date. Come join us if you would. And I think that probably means we have Gidget Thursday. I haven't actually checked.
We would normally, but we don't this time around. She will be joining us on the 8th of July.
Okay, perfect.
So 2 weeks from Thursday.
That's a good time because I'll be gone the Thursday before that for my family.
The 1st of July, right.
Yeah. So
anyway. Many family reunions.
There's a lot going on. Everybody got vaxxed, man. Everybody can do their shit again, I guess, a little bit, somewhat, kind of. For those who can't, I apologize for making it sound so flippant. But, yeah, some of us are hopefully trying anyway. There's a couple of not-vaxxers who are coming to this, and I'm all out of things to tell them. So I just sort of show up and tell them I hope they don't get it and spread it and, you know, have them not be part of the problem. That would be cool.
Right.
I don't know what you're doing down there, Arizona, but why all these Arizona people are convinced that they don't need to do it. I don't know what you're doing. What are you doing down there?
Excessive heat kills the virus.
The sun will kill it.
You don't need to worry about it.
Yeah, we didn't have some of the worst cases ever last year. It'll kill it. All right. That's it. We're done. Song from you, please.
Okay, Jesse Miller wrote in and said, my son Wyatt turns 6 years old. He loves Tom Petty. That's awesome musical taste, by the way, for a six-year-old, I gotta say.
Love that.
He loves Tom Petty and will often sing what he is saying to the tune of Running Down a Dream. Cracks me up every time. So with that being said, happy birthday, Wyatt. Doo-doo. Happy birthday, Wyatt. Doo-doo. Happy birthday, Wyatt. Doo-doo. There you go.
There you go. That's
happy
good.
Birthday to you.
Take that, Wyatt.
There happy you go. Birthday. It's even better. Yeah. This is a cover by the band Murder by Death. These guys are awesome. They come to Colorado every Halloween and do shows at the Shining Hotel, the one up in Estes Park, the Stanley, that inspired the book. Murder by Death is Great for their Kickstarter in 2019. They let people who supported them choose what covers they wanted to hear the band do. This is one of them. From the As You Wish Kickstarter Covers Volume 3, here's Murder by Death and Running Down a Dream.
See you guys tomorrow.
It was a beautiful day, the sun beat down. I had the radio on, I was crying. Trees flew by, me and Del were singing. A little runaway, I was flying. Yeah, running down a dream, but never would come to me. Working on a mystery, going wherever it leads. Running down a dream. It felt so good, like anything was possible. I hit cruise control. Unstoppable. It was always cold, no sunshine. Yeah, running down a dream, but never would come to me. Working on a mystery, going wherever it leads. Running down a dream. Sky grew dark, I put the pedal down to make some time. There's something good waiting down this road. I'm picking up whatever's mine. Yeah, running down a dream that never would come to me. Working on a mystery.
This show is part of the Frog Pants Network.
Frog Pants Network.
Get more shows like this at frogpants.com.
You like your lasagna?
Oh, yeah, I do.
Yeah, you like it? You like it?
I like my lasagna.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.